Hey, this is Pastor John Ryan Cantu from Pneuma Church in Houston, Texas. Thank you for listening to the message today. I hope that it blesses you and all those that you share it with. God bless you.
This morning, I'm so excited because we have tried to have this guest speaker speak for the whole year. And every time we had scheduled him, he's a very busy man. He's always getting booked. And every time we booked him, the Lord had a different assignment for him about two or three times. But today, the Lord has graced us with his presence, our very own Pastor Brandon, whom we love and I'm so grateful for. He's going to bring the word today. My brother, love you, man.
Come on. If I could be honest for 2 seconds, man, this is not a diss to anybody who comes up after him, but for everybody who thought he was preaching today, and now he's not, like, oh, man. I feel you because, too, I have been there, but, like, I thought Pastor was going to preach today, man. Just a different one, just a different one. Amen. Well, it's good to be in the house of God. I will say this, gone for 5 months, man, God was faithful. It was like my wilderness. Came back all bunch of hair, beard, and everything. No, but it was really awesome, man. He did some things through me and with me, and he is faithful, so I'm thankful for that. I guess you could have your seat for a few minutes. I got a long intro. Pastor Melissa, my man, good to see you. I forgot what you looked like, man. Good to have her back. I haven't even met her baby yet, man. I've been gone. Well, first of all, as I said, good morning, everybody. I want to welcome you, any first-timers. Maybe you've got the, you know, it's your first time, or you've gotten the, it's been a while. And you know what's awesome, man, is I've seen some faces that it's been a while for. I got that last Sunday. Man, it's been a while. And I'm going to be honest, some of you, you know who you are. You're like, oh, welcome. I said, nah, bro. Welcome you. No, but it was funny. I also want to start this way. I'm not going to lie. I've been kind of back and forth on my seat if I should do this or not. And I'm going to because my wife left. Because she kind of did exactly what the joke says. So I just want to preface this that I believe that men and women both have an equal role. You know, not... God has the man and he has the woman, and we need both roles. And no way, after I say this joke, you know, I'm just prefacing. You know, when you preface a joke, it's pretty bad, right? I'm going to say it. All right. So check it out, man. I was watching this video. I'm not going to say on what platform. I want y'all judging me. I was watching the video, and it was an older man and an older woman. Man, I got to love older men. The wife said, why did God make men first? And my boy didn't skip a beat. Well, honey, that's because he didn't want advice on how to do it. All right. Okay. Now let me go. We're driving in. I'm driving my truck, right? God bless my wife. I'm driving in. About to turn. I'm really already turned. Park in the back. I was like, all right, I'll just turn around. And I was about to turn around. Just park right there. I said, bro, just tell me where to go. Just tell me where to go. I went to the back. I was scared. I didn't know what to do. I was like, bro, you literally just took my joke and you made it a reality, right? So it was just, so again, I want to tell you, I love women and men and women, all right? Let me just get going, man. All right, one more. They introduced me, sister over here introduced me to Stephanie. She introduced me to her dad. She said, he only speaks Spanish. Praise God. Nice to meet you. But I was going to say, we love your daughter. And I'm like, man, let me not say it because I was going to say, te amo tu mi hija. And I told her, she's like, no. I was like, nosotros. There you go. So I was like, that's why I didn't say it, man. I didn't say it. All right. Let's pray right after that. Come on, Lord, pray for me. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this word that you placed on my heart. I pray, Lord, that as I have prepared and I've done my notes and I've done the dig and I pray over everything, the delivery comes out to her. On everyone the way it needs to come out, Father. The way we need to receive it, work with us individually. Not as a body, but individually, Lord, because that's how we grow stronger. We know that the enemy comes for the weak links, Lord. And I know as much as we want to say that we're not them, sometimes, Father, even myself, I have been that. So I pray, Lord, you work in us individually so we can grow stronger as a body. That way we have no room for the enemy to infiltrate. Let this be you, Father, not me. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. All right, let's get it. So I believe here at Pneuma, as Pastor Ryan, you know, I mean, just another. It was awesome. He took like 12 minutes from my preaching, so Pastor. No, I'm just kidding. I think it's awesome that you hear a song like I Trust in God, you know, and I'm not up here often, but when I am here and I see everything come together, you hear a song, you're like, bro, you're looking at them like, how did they know? Like, that's like I picked an altar song and I'm like, babe, tell Will to do this song. This song's better because, you know, it's just God is good. Sometimes we try to, let me interject a little bit. It's like, come on, bro, what are you doing? I got this. And that song came on, and then Pastor Ryan comes up, he talks about discipling and stuff. It all makes sense because I'm about to get into it, but just to see things come full circle, like, man, God really is faithful, and he's awesome, man. So I just want to give him a round of applause for being faithful, please. But as Pastor Ryan said, here at Pneuma, I do believe that that God is doing something, right? Something very, very special. And I know a lot of times people hear that, and they think like, oh, they're talking about the church, the leaders, the pastors. No. God is doing something in you. God is doing something in you, in the body, in the church, every one of us, right? Because guess what? I started just as someone sitting on the chair just like some of you are. Not in a bad way, right? Coming in, you're just starting off, you're sitting there, you're learning. But I believe God is really doing something. I've seen a lot of growth in a lot of people. Amen. We aren't just here idly standing by or sitting by waiting for God to return. Jesus, right? I believe we're all working. We're sharing the gospel. We're serving our community. You know, we got people coming in, got closets, going out. We got groups going out, preaching the gospel, bringing them to church. Praise the Lord. Come on. And then, you know, we're discipling. And it's great because you think, oh, discipling adults. No, we're discipling youth. We're discipling adults. We're even discipling children. We got children discipling children, you know, showing the example. Yeah, maybe not be as theological as the adults, but it doesn't matter. You're teaching them at that age. By the time they get to be a youth or a young adult, they're already going to have it figured out. Where me and you are like, I don't even know what to do. I'm just winging it. I'm trying to figure it out. They're already being fundamentally taught these things theologically. So I thank the Lord for his faithfulness. But there is something that's been pressing on my heart. And it's a question that I think we should all ask ourselves, right? Whenever God does something through me, and whatever that capacity may be, is my heart posture, look what God did through me, or is it look what I did? It's going to be one of those. It's not really one of those, but it's going to be one of those, all right? But I want to break that down a little bit, right? Because I know this is not something that is in front of people. It's just something that happens when no one else is there, right? If we're going to be honest, right? One of our struggles, one of our battles, when nobody else is there, right? So when no one's there, are those the thoughts that portray? Are those what infiltrates your mind? Is that where you're leading? Is that what you're thinking? Because when we're by ourselves, we're more vulnerable. That's why we're to be together with the body, amen? So you may prepare a Bible study. You may prepare a devotional, a preaching, whatever it may be. Sing a song, you know? I mean, I didn't even prepare that run. I didn't prepare that what I just said to them. Man, like, bam, there it is. The head gets a little bigger. You may give some money away. I can't sing, so, yeah, you know. If it sounds good, but like, hey, that's bam, that's God, right? You may give money to a charity. You may give money to people on the roads, you know, whatever it is. Hey, man, I appreciate you. Oh, man, I got you. Don't worry about it. Me. Hey, how about the Lord loves you, man? The Lord provides for me. Hey, he provides for you, too. In one small form or fashion, no matter what, in any way, you may stick up for a coworker. I was waiting for an amen, but no, I didn't think I was going to get one on there. Maybe you defend a friend. Maybe you defend a brother and sister. Hear somebody saying something about them. Hey, man, don't talk about that brother and sister. They come to you. Oh, man, I'm glad you did that. I got you. It's always I, you, me. You may even go and pray for the person God tugged at you to go pray for because last time you didn't listen. But what happens when God allows us to participate in something that we never had the power to produce? But that's what it is. Stepping in, praying, those words, those things that come, that's not something you had. That was the Spirit depositing something, giving you something that you could use. But sometimes when we don't check our hearts, and we're here, we got to check our hearts daily. If we're honest, sometimes hourly. But it's something that he allows us to do. What happened when God uses our hands, uses our feet, uses our voice, our leadership, and somewhere along the way we start confusing being used by God with being the source of what God did? Which leads me to my sermon title. Is it really me? There's a man in Judges who had to learn this lesson from both directions. His name is Gideon. As we see initially, Gideon couldn't believe God could use him. God came to use him. He's like, nah, not me, bro. That's the new version. Apologies. Right? But by the end of, this is a small story. It happens between chapters 6, 7, and 8. And I'll go into it. We'll break it down. But at the end where he says, I can't do this. It ends up being everybody else was giving Gideon the credit for what God did. How quickly that transitions. A little history and background, right? Where are we at in history right now? Moses, gone. Joshua, gone, right? Israel's are in living in the promised land. They don't have a king yet. So this is important to understand because we're in Judges. The book of Judges, there's no king. They're still wanting to get that aspect because everyone else around them does. But God's like, no, right? During this period, we see a repeated cycle. I want to say we see that cycle even today, right? Even today, the cycle is this. Israel turns away from God. Oppression comes. They cry out to God. And then God raises up a judge to deliver them. How is that different from us? We fall, we sin, we mess up. Oh, God, look what I got myself into. If you could just help me beat this or help me here or help me with that, help me with my wife, my kids, then I'll follow you. And then, oh, yeah, here, boom, I got you. Sucker. We don't say that, right? But what do your actions say? What do your words say? At the start of chapter 6 of Judges, we see that the Israelites did evil and the Lord gave them over to the Midianites for 7 years. We're going to get to it. It's going to be chapter 6. We're going to read. I'm just kind of laying some foundation for you. When I put this in, I was like, yeah. I felt good. Don't worry. It's me. Let me and God do our thing. All right. The Midianites were very cruel. They would destroy their crops and their livestock and leave them with nothing. Imagine that. All your hard work. We do our crops. We plant the crops. We till the ground. We this, we that. We have our cattle. And then someone comes because of our sin. They come and take everything, right? They got to get up quick. Early bird gets the worm. But they come and took everything. Also, the Israelites would hide from the Midianites in the mountains or inside caves. That's how cruel they were. They would go up the mountain, find caves. They would find somewhere to hide from them because I guess they would bully them too, kill them, whatever the case may be. All right, which leads us to our main text, which is Judges 6, 11 through 16. See, that's why I told you I could sit down because my intro was kind of long. If you would stand as we read the word of God. We'll read it a couple more times past this, but I won't have you guys stand. If I got to stand, y'all can stand with me. Amen. Come on, somebody. All right, let's read it. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree of Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." "Sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt, but now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites?" Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you." But Lord, Gideon replied, "How can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe." The Lord said to him, "I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man." You can have your seat. My bad. We prayed a little earlier, so I kind of jumped the gun. It's all right, but I prayed for it already. All right, so let's get into this, man. This is, show of hands, who's read the book of Judges about Gideon and know the three, you know, the whole story? A few of y'all, great. So good thing we laid foundation, right? Praise the Lord. All right, No, but, you know, it's something that you got to be refreshed on, right? So you have an understanding. That's what we're trying to do. So if you're taking notes, I wanted to try to do this seamless, but I'm going to say the points. All right, stop measuring God's call by your ability. As you see, Gideon's response is like many of our responses whenever we hear the call. Whenever he comes and says, hey, do this or hey, do that. Like, hold on, bro. Me? Like, you want to send me to go do that? And we're like, nah. But you know what? I find it odd that the angel of the Lord, he starts off by, my hero, the Lord is with you. I find that odd. Why is that odd? Because he saw a man, as he described himself, lowest clan, weakest in his clan, weakest of the tribes. But the angel of the Lord doesn't say, hey, you weak man. He says, my hero. So already when he sees him, he calls him by what he's going to do through him rather than what he saw himself as his own image. And I think if you miss that, you could just rewrite over it. It's important that we pay attention, right? So there's some good reasons, right? How can I rescue Israel that he asked himself? Because he doesn't see him as a leader. How can I rescue Israel? Right? I just mentioned that. And I just mentioned that. Okay. Sorry. So as we see, this man is saying, hey, I am not qualified to go and do this, but you want me to go. But he says, I am with you. That sounds great. Who here, if someone said, hey, I'm with you, let's go. You'd be like, oh, okay. There's other things that we gotta have an army. We gotta have people. We gotta have this. We gotta prepare. But he says, hey, I will send you and I will be with you. I don't know if that's good enough, right? I don't know if I would be like all in. But I want to say, this reminded me of Peter. Matthew 14, 28 through 33. It says, then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you. Walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong winds and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith. Jesus said, why did you doubt me? Who here can remember a moment like this where you didn't feel like you were able to do something? Even though God was like, hey, look, man, we can go as small as this. Go pray for that brother or sister. We go to restaurants. We go eat. Pray for that waitress. Pray for that waiter, right? He calls us to do something. But sometimes we get focused on the wrong thing, like Peter. The atmosphere, maybe even the people around. Man, I can't go tell that brother that in front of all these people. I can't tell that sister that. There's people around here. I watched one the other day, a video the other day. A gentleman said he was a pastor at a church, working at a barbershop. And the Lord told him, pray for that brother right there in front of everybody. He said, no, this isn't church. The environment you're in, you should be changing it, not it changing who you are. You shouldn't be changing based upon the location geographically. So when I see that and I think of that, right, sometimes it is a crowd that shifts us. Sometimes it's the background chatter. What are they going to say about me? Like, man, when I see Sister Heather over here, man, dancing and worshiping and praising, and I see my daughter, and I'm like, I'm going to be transparent with you guys. I'm like, man, I don't want to look no type of way in front of people. So I stay. I don't jump, right? There's a lot of other reasons why I don't jump, apparently, right? But... I'm going to be honest with you. It comes pride. It becomes pride. It is pride that you struggle with. Like, man, they're going to look at me. You know, I'm not going to do it. But no, it just, I already went in. I'm not going in no more. But it is pride because I'm like, man, I don't want people to look at me. Like, man, look at him. But you know what that shows me? And the pastor says it all the time. And Pastor Danny says it. They do so freely and so boldly because that's what God has done for them. And that's what should stand out. Now, when I see, I'm like, oh, man, she was a mess. Look at God. Man, she was a mess. God's wrecking her, you know. Or look at him, man. God, man, you see muckles. You see everything. It's like, man, you stop worrying about image. You start saying, man, God, that is more important, whatever you're doing. Right? But pass your brother Tish if he needs one, amen. Look out for him. And that's why I was going, right? Ego, reputation, my pride. It's a bad thing. I think I said on Wednesday, I said, man, those that leave their position, there's something in the Bible just about moving geographically from your location. Just, it doesn't even matter if it's one step, just move. Move, preferably forward, right? So there's just so much power in doing that. Share your struggle with healing and trusting God would provide. That's what you have to understand. Oh, that was my note, not y'all note. Sorry. Now, I told you I'm rusty, bear with me. So right here is something I want to share on is this. I remember there was one time, and if I cry, don't make fun of me, all right? No, but there was a woman in a wheelchair. And I just felt it strongly on my spirit. Hey, go pray and tell her to get up. I said, nah. I said, I'm not doing that. I'm full transparency, y'all know me. Open book. I said, nah. You know what's ugly about it is this. If she doesn't get up, how will she look at me? If she stands believing and falls, that would destroy me. But you know, part of that, the whole problem was the fact that what I thought, because it wasn't my healing, it wasn't my words, it was going to be him. So whenever he leads you to do something, obey. Now, I'm going to throw a plug here. Make sure what you're listening to is the Spirit of God. If you're not sure, then don't. You know, you go to the Lord in prayer. I'm not saying that anything you hear in your mind, bro, I might choke some of y'all, you know? I'm just kidding. No, but being honest, if you just go off every voice you hear and you don't put it to the test, you could find yourself in a bad position really quick. Especially that. What if it was my emotion? You know, what if it was this? So that, again, that word comes and it enters and it wrecks everything. And that's what I'm going to now. Church, we must be careful with that word. If. It can destroy literally everything if you allow it. No pun on following it up with it. But we even see the enemy use the same tempting when he goes to Jesus. If you are the Son of God. Over and over again. Sometimes circumstances make us question. Sometimes our own insecurities make us question. And even the enemy will challenge what God has already spoken. So when God, like, man, did God really say that? It's like, stop asking that. If he said it, he said it. And if he says it again, don't ask again. Trust what he says and follow him. All right? If we have kids, nieces, you tell them, hey, go brush your teeth or hey, go get something there, go get that. And they talk back to you, you're ready to whoop them. Right? Man, grandparents aren't like that, though. I don't know what happened to grandparents, bro. Big mama, boy, wow, slapping everybody's kids. Now these grandparents, I'll be like, get them. Well, my mom, when she was alive, get them, mom. Oh, no, that's my baby. No, hombre, you beat me. Beat them. Grandparents, man, they got soft these days, man. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, let me stay serious. All right. All right. But listen, whatever the source of the question, know that God's word must have the final authority. God's telling you to tell that person to break, divorce that man. Hold on, bro. Wait, whoa, whoa. Is that what the word says? You know? Oh, okay, well, God's telling me that, you know, you're unequally yoked and maybe you should take it to prayer before you get with that person before you move into marriage. That's something that God may tell you, right? You know, so pay attention. His word has to be the ultimate, what was the word I used? Authority, right? The final authority, right? Amen? This doesn't mean that you will always have the confidence to get up or to do the task, but rely on the Lord and trust, just like Gideon did, right? Or just like he tells Gideon, I will be with you. And in fact, he will be with us too. Hebrews 11:1. You should all know that one. But faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. So again, he called him my hero. He says, I will be with you. And I'm pretty sure Gideon's like, we're going to see how this works out. Amen. God's cause depends on his presence, not my sufficiency. So I ask you to ask yourself, is it really me? God will remove what tries to steal his glory. Judges 7:2. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. That's just, all I can say, that's like you. It's like God knows his kids. Like if I give them that many, I'm like, look what we did. No, he said, no, I got to take some. And I'm like, all right, God, which one? Like one or two? Three? Which ones? The big ones? Get them out of here. We don't need them. Right? We want the slender, fit ones, right? I'm just kidding. That was y'all chance to say amen. Thank y'all. Just kidding. All right. So the Lord says, you have too many warriors. Why? Why is that his statement? You know, we see in the text why, but let's break it down, right? Isn't the goal for the Midianites to be destroyed? Isn't it for them to defeat them and set them, you know, the Israelites back free? Why would you want me to have 300? That's like, you figure out the math from 32,000 to 300, but that's so many less, and you want me to defeat them? And there's a lot of them. Like, it says that if you read it, it's like, they were like this, their camels were like this, unnumerous, like the sand. So it wasn't like there was just a few of them. But he does it to keep the Israelites from boasting. At least that's what his opportunity, that's what he's trying to keep them from doing. You can't say it was you. And if we go back to us, when we do something, when we get that, let me follow my notes, because then I'll go everywhere. God removed every reasonable explanation for them to take credit. And somehow, the human heart still found somebody other than God to give the glory to. And we'll see that a little bit later. But he does something to keep it from happening, and we see later, it still happens. So how many of us are waiting? See, this is why I didn't want to jump in front of my notes. All right. How many of us are waiting for God to come through for something specific right now? Raise your hand. If there's something specific right now, healing, family member, loved one, job, home, children, whatever it is, very few of us. So I'm going to imagine all hands up. Because if you're a Christian and you are a follower of Christ, I know you have somebody that you love that don't go to church. So your hands, both hands. Right? So, from experience, while you're waiting for God to fulfill your need, remember him after the miracle is done. Whew, that's the hard one, right? I used to always say it, and they're not here, man, but it happens. I need a healing. Lord, give me a healing. Give me a healing. I've seen so many people, help me beat this case. Help me here. Help me get me out of this. Help me with the job and this and that. And as soon as they get it, as I said earlier, I'm gone. When he does what you ask him to do, do not disregard him and turn back or move back into what you're doing. Or even not even say, oh, I didn't go back. Don't turn your back on him. Amen? Now we have moved from Gideon's insecurity to Israel's potential pride. Chapter 6, we see Gideon says what? I can't. I can't do this. Now we get to chapter 7 and we see the Israelites' potential. We did this, not you. God knows us better than we know ourselves. That's why we have to reflect on his word. Not on Brandon's word. Not on Pastor Ryan's word. Not on Pastor Danny's word. Pastor Mike, say, go down the line. It's not our word, it's his word. Not simply what we think about ourselves. Because again, based upon what we know in scripture and we know from the story, Gideon already said, not me, bro. I can't do it. I'm the weakest. Right? Because our thoughts can change based upon our understanding and our level of maturity. If you're an immature Christian, I'm not going to go to you and ask you a question about something deep. Bro, like, you know, I'm not going to go ask someone who's young, single, about marriage advice. You know, hey, what should I do? What should I be looking for in a man? Like, bro, I don't know. A man, right? You know, I'm not going to go ask someone who has no job about what it takes to have a job. I'm not going to ask someone about, you know, I'm about to buy a home. I stay in an apartment, bro. I'm not going to go to someone that I believe is not qualified. And again, that's not to say like, I think you're less qualified, but I'm not going to go to someone where I feel they're not going to have experience or understanding in a certain position. And I'm saying there may be somebody, maybe they're in real estate. You don't even know, but they understand it. So it's not always going to be that way, but 9 times out of 10, I want to talk to somebody who's either been there, done that, learned from it. You know, like I'm never going to go buy speakers on the side of the road, you know. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to look, bro. I'm not going to look. But if you know, you know, right? I'm just saying. No. But you know, that's what I'm getting at. You're going to go to someone who has an experience, has an understanding. Like Pastor Juan, I'm going to go for him. Hey, man, if I need to prepare preaching, if I need to fix anything in my house, I'm going to go talk to that guy. HVAC, bro, my boy. Brother Joey, what's up, man? I need some, I'm throwing plugs out. Where you at, Herbert? If I need to get some lights on my car, you know, window tint, I'm going to go get them. So you're going to find a person that is going to do that. But when it comes to this, the person is a scripture, man. It's got to be God. It's got to be someone who understands and knows. Amen? If I'm Gideon, I'm thinking, God, we went from 32,000 men to 10,000 men to now I have 300 men. It feels kind of like you're abandoning me. And sometimes it feels like that. God, why is my crowd getting smaller? How come I'm not getting invited to so many events like I used to? How come they didn't call me to go over there? Instead of saying, God, why do you have me alone? What do I need to learn in solitude? What do I need to learn while I'm waiting? Instead, you worry about why not me? Again, that's pride. Why not me? Pride. Amen? To keep Israel, this is the reason why, right? Why does he go down from there? As we talked about, the scripture says it. To keep Israel from boasting and making it undeniable that the victory belonged to God. I don't know, 300 men beating 100,000 men, 200,000 men, however many it was. And they didn't have to fight. I don't know how anybody could take credit for that. I really don't. How many times have you been instructed to do something or you've been led to do something? And nothing but questions and doubt creeps in. Go do this. Go do that. Pray. Help this brother out. With time or money. Hey, we're laughing. Right? We are laughing, but the reality comes down to that. On our way here, there was a gentleman on the side of the highway, and he came up. And he asked, normally I keep my window rolled up. I just wave at him. But I just felt, roll your window down. I rolled my window down. Excuse me. The gentleman said, man, I said, bro, I got nothing, boss. You even got water? I said, man, I don't have water. But I've talked to enough homeless people. I know they like water and they like hats. I said, I got a cap, bro, if you need it. Oh, man, I'll take it. Gave it to him. Those people are people too, man. You may not have nothing. You may not have nothing to give them. But that's a human being. Roll your window down. Hey, brother, I don't have anything. I'm sorry, but man, God bless you. Stay hydrated. Stay out of the heat. Do what you can because you acknowledge him. And you say, well, that's weird. When you come through these church walls and you're not familiar and nobody says nothing to you, what do you do? Nobody saw me. Nobody said nothing to me. But yeah, we see a homeless person. We see a beggar, right? Whatever, however phrase you want to do it. We don't see him. We don't acknowledge him. They just want this. Don't assume what people want. I remember one time I gave a guy food, and I told my daughters, I don't like doing this. I gave a guy food. I said, look, man, I saw his dog. I like, man, I love dogs, right? And I'm going to be honest, bro. I'm going to be honest. I took him some Chick-fil-A, had a gallon of water on my seat. Me, right? I think he needs food. Here's food. Hey, bro, you going to drink that water? I said, I already drunk out of it. It's all right. I said, bro, it's yours. I thought I knew what he needed, and I didn't. I try to play God instead of hearing a person, asking a person, right? Let's keep that in mind, man. Silence the lies by following his truth. Oh, he might do something. Man, roll the window down. How you doing, brother? God bless you. Jesus loves you. No matter the circumstance, no matter your battles, no matter where you're at, you may be at the lowest of your lows, but God loves you. He has a plan for your life. You leave, you never see that person again. But what if? What if those words of encouragement was all it took? And it's like, man, I got my life. All because that guy told me, that lady told me that Jesus loved me. Brother Edward, Pastor Melissa, all from a conversation. I mean, I don't know where he's at now, but I know he was here and he was serving and he, you know, he went on. So all I could think, good things happen. But in the end, it's up to people. But if she wouldn't have said hello, wouldn't have rolled her window down, we never met this man. So don't be so quick to assume. Again, we're talking about how God is eliminating the ability to boast. So I was reading a chapter and it stood out to me. It's John 6:32. It says, Jesus, I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. What we're seeing here is Jesus correcting the crowd. Because if you didn't get it, they said Moses provided bread. That's not what happened. I don't know what they read or what they've been told. Moses was simply the one who went to the Lord for it, right? God provided bread, manna. And I think sometimes we get those feelings. We focus on me rather than God. Just like the same way when people honor us or praise us or say something like, man, like today, maybe I'll get something. That was an amazing preaching. And I'll be like, I know. No, I'm going to be like, man, praise God. Because if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be up here. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have changed my life. If it wasn't for God, I'd be in the streets. If it wasn't for God, I could be homeless. If it wasn't for God, I could be in jail. So never for one moment will I say, oh, man, this is what I do, bro. No, because I tell you what, every time I come, I was fine all day until it was time to come up here. And I was like, ooh, you just feel it, you know? You want to be right. You want to do right. You want to come up here and do well. But on the flip side, I just want to shout out to the people that want to take things literal. Don't hit them with that get behind me, Satan, when they say, man, great job. Get behind me, Satan. I'm not falling for you, you know? But say, you know what? Thank you for your words of encouragement. Praise be to God. Hey, Pastor Daniel, hit him with that. Get behind me, Satan. He's going to use it on somebody this week. Don't worry about it. It's going to be you. Hey, matter of fact, if you're sticking around for Spanish, hey, that was a great preacher, Pastor. He might hit you. I'm just kidding. Kind of. Right? Money, resources, influence, opportunity, people. These are all things that help to make things easier for us to operate and function. 100%. If you don't have money, you're like, man, I don't know what can we do? But if you have faith, I don't know if we have money, but we're going to prepare and plan, and the money's going to show up. That's different. That's different, right? Those things really do help us. But God sometimes reduces what we trust just so we can recognize who our source is, and that is him. Again, I ask you, is it really me? A lot of conferences, a lot of first-time conferences, a lot of first-time planning conferences. Stephanie and Junior, I remember when they were planning their marriage conferences. I know Sister Diane's planning a conference right now for the women. I just had a conference this weekend that's going on. All these things, they weren't just great at. It takes doing, it takes failing, it takes, you know, all these things and feeling like it's going to fall apart. And at the end, they're like, oh, it was so amazing. Look at the mascara everywhere. Oh, my gosh. It was amazing. And you're like, oh, was it? Was it really? Like, you didn't even get to soak it in because you were so worried about everything else. We miss it. But trust and know that he will provide. He will always be there. And he does it because you don't get the glory. He does. Oh, look at what I did. It's amazing. Nah, right? Moving along. Participation doesn't equal ownership. Gideon was instructed through chapter 7 on how to reduce the numbers of men and keep specific numbers God selected to get up, go, and listen to someone's dream, right? Because this is how good God is. He said, look, get a guy, go up there, and listen to what they're saying if you need that confidence. So he does. He goes, he listens, he hears a dream. He's like, oh, and he goes, and he bows and worships. He goes back. He's like, hey, now he's pumped. Now it's like, that was the confirmation I need. Now, like, let's go. Like, I see him, like, 300, you know. This is Judges, you know. I just see it. Like, I could just see, like, you read it. I mean, he's like, he's pumped. Like, he got me pumped up, right? I was like, let's go. Let's get him, right? Judges, I don't know. Get this Israelites, I don't know. I just went with it. Sorry. But, you know, he was pumped up. He was ready to go, and it's awesome. So praise God, right? Gideon takes charge. He sees his opportunity. But again, he sees the opportunity to prepare the men to strike, right? Again, it wasn't him yet. It was still him obeying, right? All of that builds up Judges 7:22. When the 300 Israelites blew their ram's horns, the Lord caused. Who? The Lord. All right, good job. Some of y'all listening. I love it. All right, the Lord caused the warriors in the camp to fight against each other with their swords. Those who were not killed fled to places as far as, this is a tough one, so bear with me, I got to make sure I'm right, Beshittah, near Zerah, and to the border of Abel-Mahola, near Tabith. The first one was the one I was really nervous about. It's very close, right? But the Lord caused it. It wasn't them. So again, we won a war that we didn't fight. And again, it was a battle. It wasn't a war. I said a battle, right? Because they fought against themselves because they did. They dropped their clay bar or clay pots, whatever you want to call them. Got on the horn. They blew it, you know, so on and so forth. What you hear here, and people are like, oh my gosh, that's so weird. What is that noise? The shofar where they blow it. So they blew their horns and it disoriented them. But it was God who caused it. And they fought against each other as they were all around them, the perimeter. I think that's just awesome, right? So no matter the number of men, no matter the instruction that were given, no matter how everything happened or even what order it happened in, the Lord caused. It was the Lord. That's the reason Gideon and his men were able to succeed, right? They had to go. The reality is this. God needs you to go. That's the reality. He's going to do it, but he needs you. He has to have someone, right? That's just the way he created it to be. I need to have you, but I need you to do as I command. Amen? So Gideon had to go. Peter had to step out. Israel had to gather the manna. Even men, come on, Israel. They said, grab what you need, and they still grab more. But it didn't do nothing. They didn't follow the rules. They all had a responsibility. They all had a part to play. The reality is this now. They had a part to play. Why do we not have a part to play? Right or wrong? That's your opportunity right there. We all have something to do. We all have a role. You're not here to fill a seat. You're not here simply to listen. You're here to do. They participated, but none of them could produce what only God could and would provide. Amen? All right. I feel like y'all drifting on me, bro. Getting long-winded. Sorry. All right. We're almost there. We're almost there. Bear with me. And once again, you see this pattern. You start finding it all throughout Scripture. God's people work, but behind their work is the hand of God. We see the same thing when we go to when God's people return from exile. I'm gonna go back a little bit, and I really wanted to hit this because I think it's a beautiful transition. So work through me. It's three books. We're not gonna read. I'm gonna kind of summarize it for you. It's Ezra, Haggai, and Nehemiah. And this is gonna show literally the encompass of how God does through people through different eras at different times in different ways. So in Ezra, the people returned and laid the foundation of the temple. Later, God spoke through Haggai and Zechariah, calling them to finish what they had started. And Haggai 1:14 tells us that the Lord stirred the people, and they went back to work and completed the temple. If you read Ezra looks like, it's like, yeah, they sent them. They put the foundation. They built a temple. Yes, we're finished. Looks great. But then you read Haggai. Right? They didn't finish. He had to tell them to get back to work. That's why when we read right there, the Lord stirred in Haggai 1, they weren't doing. They were focused on themselves. And this is like where I want to hammer for us too. A lot of us are worried about just us. And that has to shift. It has to shift. We got to be worried more about our household because we're called to go and preach the gospel to the lost, to every nation, baptizing them. We have something we're supposed to be doing. That's not like if you feel like it on Monday, take a shot. It's what we're supposed to be doing, right? So we see the fact that they didn't want to do it. They stopped doing, but he had to stir them up, okay? Then years later, Nehemiah comes. So they get the foundation, they get the temple up, and now they have no walls. And then we come and see Nehemiah. He uses him 52 days to get all the walls repaired, or the main walls repaired. But Nehemiah 6:16 tells us that even their enemies recognized that the work had been accomplished with the help of God. Again, it's always going to be through God. It's the same process. Psalms 127:1 says, do you see the pattern? The foundation, they built it. The temple, they built it. The walls, they built them. But God was behind the work. They participated, but they weren't the source. Psalms 127:1 says, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. If you got a gun in your house and you're like, I'm protected, you got the wrong weapon, brother. Because you can create a good house, you can put a good security system, but unless the Lord is there or protecting, your house is open. And I dare say, you think that physically, I dare to look at the spiritual. The spiritual aspect is much worse than the physical, but we don't see it. So, you know, we don't know it, unfortunately. Amen. And if you do, don't say amen. Right? There are still builders. There are still guards. There is still work to do. But there is a God behind the work. And that's exactly what we just saw with Gideon. They blew the trumpets, but the Lord caused the victory. My responsibility, your responsibility, is simply obedience. The outcome belongs to God. And I'll trace that back to my transparent moment. All I needed to do was obey. It wasn't mine to do. It wasn't mine to make happen. It was simply to do as he instructed. Scripture has answered our question. Gideon participated, but the Lord caused the victory. But now there's one final test. What happens when everybody else starts giving Gideon credit for what God did? And that's where we need to be mindful as a church, as the body. Judges 8:22-23 says, then the Israelites said to Gideon, remember, I kind of told you this at first, they had no kings, right? So their reaction, their response is, be our ruler, you and your son and your grandson, that's lineage, will be our rulers, not just once, but the continuation of it. We want a king, we want a ruler. For you have rescued us from Midian. But Gideon replied, I will not rule over you, nor will my son. The Lord will rule over you. And I'm going to throw this, you know what, I'm not going to throw this out there. If you want to see how it ends, continue reading chapter 8. It sounds like it ends great. And I'm going to leave you at that. Read the rest of it. I don't want to bring you down. Just kidding. No, read it. Right? When people give me the credit, I must give God the glory. Again, we're just, it comes in and it goes up. It comes in and it goes up. That's it. All right? Wow. We walked through the story and we went through the details and we all know, just as I know, it was evident that the victory belonged to God alone. It didn't belong to Gideon. It didn't belong to the men. It belonged to God. God alone. But we read these verses and we see focus is on Gideon. And like, not even Gideon, only his son and his grandson. And if we go through the Bible, you know that doesn't work. Kings and their sons, the princes who become kings, like it ends bad. And unfortunately, the same cycle happens here. They don't rule. As soon as he's gone, they're on to the next. They fall back into sin and repeat the cycle. That word I've said several times, and I haven't realized how many times I've said it or as I was writing it, but cycle. I'm here to tell you that God is trying to break the cycles. They're the ones that we are creating. They're the ones that we're stuck in. And this is not from my notes. But we get stuck in cycles. Habits, mindsets, thought processes. We got to break out of those cycles. And contrary to what you believe, you cannot do it alone. Oh man, I'm gonna try it again. I'm gonna do it this time. You know where you started wrong? The first word was I. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. But you feel like you can do something. It doesn't work that way. Church, this may be one of the most dangerous moments of the entire story. Not when nobody believes God can use you, but when everybody starts believing you are the reason God moved. It's not us, man. At the beginning, Gideon was asking, is it really me? How can God use me? But now the people are essentially telling Gideon, it really was you. You rescued us. And Gideon must point them right back to the source. The Lord will rule over you. It doesn't have to be a negative comment. You just redirect the focus. Because brothers and sisters, look at me. I will fail you. I will get out of character. Pastor Ryan will fail you. Look to your spouse, they will fail you. Look to your friends, they will fail you. But there's only one person that has never failed. He has no losses. He's never lost a battle. He's never lost a won. And that's who you want in your corner. That's who gets the honor and the glory. Again, as I said, let's look at the progression. Judges 6, Gideon asks, how can I? Judges 7, God says, if I let you do it this way, y'all will think you did it. Judges 7:22, the Lord is the one who caused the confusion. Judges 8:22, Gideon, you did it. Judges 8:23, Gideon does the right thing. No, it was God. Stand with me, church. One thing I want everyone to take home today is that God has saved you from your sin and the punishment for a reason. So it's simple. He saved you from your sin, but for something. There is a reason. Whether you have previously accepted Jesus, whether you already, you know, you're accepting him today, whether you're going to accept him in the future, whichever stance or whichever point you find yourself at, know that you are here for a reason. There's not a man, I think I'm here for a reason. Maybe I'm here for a reason. You are here for a reason. And if you doubt that, then you're here, you're just an accident, man. We're just a clump of cells. No, there's something more for you. If you don't know that purpose, wait on the Lord. But hear me, church. Waiting on the Lord doesn't mean I'm giving up. It doesn't mean I stop seeking him. It doesn't mean I've stopped serving him. A lot of times we say wait, and wait just means do nothing. But when you wait on the Lord, Isaiah 40:31 says, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. I dare add to his scripture. I dare add anything. But if we're honest, there's so much more. I no longer struggle with depression. I no longer struggle with anxiety. I trust in the Lord. I wait on the Lord. I'm sitting in despair, but I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm sitting afraid, but I'm trusting in the Lord. I have all these thoughts and all these emotions, but through the process, I'm trusting and waiting on the Lord, because I know even though night comes, daylight comes shortly after. We see it again. Even the strength to keep going comes from the source. I don't have to manufacture strength. I gotta eat my meal, my protein. I gotta work out. The strength comes from the Lord. I don't have to manufacture the outcome. Oh man, it went great. Why are you lying? It went horrible. But you have a starting point. Build on it. I trust, I obey, I participate, and I depend on God for what I cannot produce myself. The question to continuously ask yourself is this: is it really me? God will use us. God expects you to participate. But God still is our source. That second one's going to have to hit. I'm going to keep repeating it. You're here to do something. He wants us to participate. He has called you for a reason. If he didn't, you wouldn't be here. So you're like, man, is he talking about me? If you're here, if you still breathe, there's something that God has for you. He has something for you to do. And you can give all the excuses like Gideon. I'm the least. I'm the weakest. Bro, nobody's going to listen to me. Nobody even cares. But they didn't like me in high school. They don't even like me now at church. But watch God. You want to tell him what you can't do. Why don't you say, God, if you're going to do it, I'm here to watch. I'll obey. Do it. Let's see what happens. I can't go no lower. I'll rise up from here. Amen. People rise and people fall, but God remains. So don't let people hype you up or make you believe you're not more than you are, or even that you are more than you are. We participate, but God is the source and he is the focal point. I have an altar call this afternoon. It's not a complex one. It's very simple. It's this. If you are waiting for Jesus' return and you are not doing nothing, the call is to action and to trust that God will be with you. Ask him to show you what he can do through you. While you are working, this is one, if you're not doing nothing. Someone, this is for another person. If you are working, ask God to search your heart to make sure he is receiving the glory and not yourself. Everything that you're doing, nothing that's for you, is for him. Or if you find yourself, you're seasoned and you've been serving for years, ask God to search your heart and give you the strength to continue pressing on. Because I'm here to tell you, you look to the elders of this church, they have a responsibility too. Oh, they're on their way out, we're on our way up. Nah, they have a lot of experience they need to pour into us. But you don't see that. Where's the art of elders and young people? You don't see it. Why? We need their resources. We need their knowledge. We need their situations, the things they fought through. I know Pastor Ryan goes to Pastor Juan for a lot of things. Probably not as much, you know, because, boy, you know, figured it out. Got all the answers. But in life, he goes to him for things. Church. Pastor Juan was a pastor for 30 years. 25 years, 30 years. Sounds better. 30 sounds better. 18, 30 sounds better. See? I'm telling you, a good guy, right? But he has experience. So why not have a conversation with him? I'm just saying. So there's altar calls for you. If you find yourself in any one of those positions, come up. We want to pray for you. We want to pray over you. Don't be afraid, man. Don't be afraid to come up. Don't be afraid to come up and be vulnerable in the presence of God. Because you on your own doing it, you see where it's gotten you. Trust in the Lord. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like some more information on Pneuma Church, visit us on our website at mynumachurch.org. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe or share it with your friends on social media and tag us at mynumachurch. Thanks again, and God bless.